As we remain standing, let us pray. Loving and gracious Lord God, we ask for your goodness to be manifest in our lives, in our families, our community, the nation, and the world. Give us your knowledge, insight, and ability to act on them. Let us have too deep a sense of humor ever to be proud. Let us know our absurdity before we act absurdly. Let us understand that when we are most humble, we are most human, most truthful, and most worthy of your serious consideration. And let us always remember that we are blessed to be a blessing. We ask this in the name and in the power and in the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So we are now fully in Lent, a time to slow down, giving time and space to remember the faithfulness of God and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change us, to transform us from glory to glory. The process of inner renewal can be hindered by worry. Does anybody here worry?
Oh, yeah.
Worrying, I think, puts up a block and hinders, doesn't stop, but I think it hinders God showering blessings on our circumstances and our lives. It's as if we hold up our hands and we say, oh, no, no, God, stop. Stop. We're doing what God does best, making a fuss over us. Worrying can close up our hearts and cause unrealistic anxiety and fear in our spirits. And I think the last 2 years that we haven't finished has caused a lot of us to worry. To worry what might happen in the future will not change the outcome. It doesn't change the outcome. What is it that we're spending an inordinate amount of time fretting over? What is it that you're worried about? Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Christian who helped save Jews from the Nazis in the Second World War, wrote a book called Clippings from My Notebook. And this is what she said. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry is a cycle of inefficiency, thoughts whirling around a center of fear. In the reading from Genesis, Abraham is worried. He is concerned that God has given him no offspring and a slave born in his house would be his heir. Abraham is worried about an heir, even though he had been promised something much bigger. I'm going to go back a bit. In chapter 12, God had called Abraham to move out into faith and establish a covenant with him, telling him that he would be a father of a great nation. He'd already been told this. Not only would this nation be blessed, but other nations on earth would also be blessed. God had asked him to move out in faith and obedience to parts unknown. All he had to go on was God's promise to guide and bless him. Isn't that what we have? He had no idea how that one decision to not worry about where he was going would affect the history of the world. His compliance set into motion the development of a nation that God would use to fulfill the promise of a blessing to all nations, Jesus Christ. But like us, he began to worry. God assures him, but the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue. And he brought him outside and he said, look at the stars, look at the universe, you're to count them. So shall your descendants be. And just When he was despairing of ever having an heir, God promises descendants too numerous to count. Look at those stars. There's thousands of them. God's blessings are always beyond our imaginations, more than the stars or the grains of sand. Abraham in verse 7 is reminded that it was through God who began this journey and would give him what he promised. In other words, don't worry. I am looking after the universe. Hello. And it shall be as I have said, for I am the Lord. Abraham was looking for confirmation and assurance that he was doing God's will, which is a natural human response. We also want assurance when we're asking for guidance. We need to believe, to have a heartfelt inner confidence that God is who God says he is and does what he says he'll do. He's ruling the universe, okay? So the universe is being taken care of today. Faith and obedience are keys to God's blessing, and they are the actions that let God be God. Faith and obedience. Abraham made a choice in spite of his apprehension to go with God's destiny for his life. And this still applies to you and I. God will not bless our plans because we are not put on earth to live for ourselves. Like Abraham, we've been given life for something much bigger than our worries. And when we go with God's plan for our life, we will experience blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. This idea is actually one of the most crucial principles in the whole Bible. The concept teaches us something very basic about God's expectation for each of us. It is a fundamental statement of purpose that applies to all people who, through faith, believe in God's promises. Blessings, here's the crux here. Blessings are not meant to flow into us, but rather to flow through us. It's from Rabbi Schlesinger. And there were four principles of blessing. First one, blessings are to flow to others. We are blessed not so that we can feel good about ourselves, but and to be comfortable so that we can bless others. It's easy to feel blessed when everything is going great, but boy, it's difficult to feel blessings when life is a struggle. Remember, blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember the thing from Matthew? Abraham trusted God even when there seemed no hope at all for the promise to be fulfilled. So blessings are to flow outward. And Jesus says in Matthew 10:8, give freely as you have received. Second principle. When we bless others, God takes care of our needs. God's promise is that when we concentrate our blessing others on others, God will take care of our needs. There's almost nothing that God won't do for the person who really wants to help other people. And God guarantees this blessing in Luke 18:29. Jesus says, I guarantee this. Anyone who gives up anything for the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times in this life and receive eternal life in the world to come. When you and I care about helping others, and I know we all do, we can more easily turn over to God responsibility for our problems and worries. God is so much better at handling our difficulties than we are. Third, our blessings to others will come back to us. That's not why we do it, okay? It goes something like this. The more we bless and help other people, the more God blesses our lives. Luke 6:38 tells us, give away your life, you'll find life given back, but not merely given back with bonus and blessing. And that's from the Message. You and I can never, ever outgive God. The more we try and bless others, the more God pours out his blessings, remember, to flow through us. But remember, blessings are to flow through us. For the more blessed we are by God, the more Here's the real kicker. The more we're blessed by God, the more is expected of us. Yeah, true. Jesus expresses it this way. Much is required from the person to whom much is given. Much more is required from the person to whom much more is given. We are blessed to be a blessing. This is an opportunity to ask God in Lent, take this time in Lent, to make you more aware of how each day brings blessings. Seeing a patch of blue sky during these rainy days of winter can be an opportunity. See that as a blessing. Go, and if you can, it's been a little cloudy. Now, go outside and look at all the stars. Be an Abraham. Maybe you could intentionally be more aware of those people you're closely connected to and find time to give them a hug. Tell them what they mean to you, what they have done for you, who they are, how wonderful they are. You know that expression, you're as dumb as you look? I don't say that anymore. I say, you're as smart as you look. How? Something about seeing joy in someone's face when you have a conversation and you can hear a light bulb go on. We're going to be blessed very soon because we're going to be able to go back to Wilmington Creek. Amen. That is a blessing, isn't it? If you're out for a walk and you find a beautiful stone or a piece of driftwood, study its beauty. Slow down. And COVID, I think, has really given us an opportunity to slow down. Be aware of being blessed to be a blessing. So the four principles are, our blessing should flow to others. When we bless others, God takes care of our needs. Our blessing to others will come back to us. And finally, we are blessed by God. The more we're blessed by God, the more He expects us to help others. And so based on the blessings of your life, what does God expect from you? What are the needs around you for which you can use your gifts to be a blessing? Could be a telephone call. It's small. It doesn't have to be large. Talk with each other. Share with each other how God is so good all the time. Give thanks and give up your worries. Luke 12:26. Here we go. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing then, what is the use of worrying about bigger things? Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything you need. Take time this week to ask yourself, is the world a better place because of me? It is a better place. Be yourself, because everybody else is taken. Has my existence added anything to the sum total of the blessings in this world? What an opportunity. Let us ponder our blessings and then strive, always strive, to be a living blessing today and always. Let us be, we're blessed to be a blessing. And God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. I can't say hallelujah, so I'll say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, every good and perfect gift is a blessing from you, and you have blessed us with so much. Make us a channel of your blessing, a channel through whom your love and peace and joy flow out from you, through us to others. Let us be your hands to bless, guide our feet to the places we can go, and be a blessing. And let us speak words of comfort and encouragement, always speaking your truth and love. And let us preach the gospel, sometimes using words. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.